word from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hear now these words. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How you once stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people for me, and I will let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me as long as they live on the earth, and may teach their children so. You approached and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain was blazing up to the very heavens, shrouded in dark clouds. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, which he charged you to observe, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord charged me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy. And from Proverbs 22, verse 6, train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in our prayer preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Today we wrap up our series on homegrown heroes. We chose not to focus on the celebrities with big names and lots of money. Instead, we have picked people here in our own town and in our church who are heroes in a simple way. They have lived their lives for others and for God. We started with the launch of our new animal ministry. Tammy is organizing people to foster animals and make sure they are spayed and neutered. Then we looked at Mike Lavital's work with the Navigators. He is building community among families that have children with special needs. He does it simply by giving them a chance to play sports and bang on a drum. Last week, Christine interviewed her husband, Vic, who is an EMT and has saved children from drowning in pools. He and others are heroic by being available every day to help. He said he doesn't think he is doing anything special. He's just there when people need him. If only all of us could have that kind of attitude. And today we look at a different hero. We celebrate mothers today, and what an example so many mothers are for us in perseverance and being there when we need help the most. I want to start today by sharing with you something that happened in my family. About 20 years ago, when I was just a teenager, my mom shared with the family that she wanted to take a trip to Israel. She had never been to the Holy Land, but she felt a tug on her heart to go. She didn't have money, she didn't have a plan, but she felt like she was supposed to go. And when she shared this plan with my dad said, if God wants you to go, then God will pay for it. And God did. People chipped in, got meals lined up. Everyone did something to make sure she would be able to go on this trip. As she saved money and people gave generously, she even had a little bit of money left over to purchase a few souvenirs. When she returned, it wasn't more than a few days that I broke one of them and had to glue it back together. But one of the prized purchases she made was a wooden camel. I actually have it here this morning. You can see it in the back. If you want to come up after church, you might get a closer look at that. She told us how she had to haggle over the price, which is pretty much required in that culture. And then she had to figure out how to get this giant thing home in her suitcase. But she managed, and it lived happily in our home for years. That is, until one of the water jugs on the camel's back fell off. We think it was simply from the humidity, the hot and the cold, all of it contributing to the glue becoming brittle and that jug falling off. The first time it happened, my mom grabbed some super glue and put it back on. It held for a while, but eventually it fell off again, so she super glued it again and again and again. Then she handed the project over to my dad. He added wood glue, which is the right product, and this time he he put it on, but because of all the super glue that was on it from before, it didn't quite work right. So it kept falling off over and over until eventually my parents gave up on it and simply stored it in the basement. 6 months ago, my parents moved out of their house so they could retire down to Florida. They invited all the children over to help pack and to take items that they wanted for themselves. As soon as I saw this camel in pieces, I knew I wanted it. There's just something about pastors and items from the Holy Land. They just go together, right? And I brought it home. And when I got home, I looked it over and saw how many layers of old glue were on this water jug and on the camel. I knew this thing couldn't be fixed without doing something about that glue first. I tried different grades of sandpaper. I started with the fine stuff, but that didn't do anything. I switched to the coarse stuff and started working on it. Still, I knew it would be next year before I finished getting all that glue off. So finally, I got out a hammer and a chisel, and I had to bang the glue off of the wood. I slowly knocked off piece by piece of 20 years of old glue. After most of it was off, I went back to the sandpaper and worked it so there was only wood left, and it was smooth like it was when it was first put together. I didn't do a perfect job, but at least this time it should hold for years to come. I share this story with you because I believe for many of us, our relationships with our mothers and fathers, or as mothers and fathers, is similar to this water jug and camel. What I mean is that each of us has a relationship, either as a son or daughter, or as a mother or father. These relationships that we have, they are not simple. They aren't straightforward. There are many layers, like these layers of glue. Underneath it all is something beautiful. But relationships can get so mixed up and complicated. You aim for something that is good, and it gets messed up. You try again, and it's worse than it was the time before. It happens to all of us, because relationships are not easy. There's a joke about a couple going on a trip, and the last thing they did was put the cat outside. When their taxi arrived, they walked out of the house, and as they did, the cat shot back into the house. So the husband goes back inside to chase it out. The wife, not wanting anyone to know that the house would be empty, explained to the taxi driver, "He's just going upstairs to say goodbye to my mother." A few minutes later, the husband got into the taxi and said, "Sorry I took so long. The stupid thing was hiding under the bed, and I had to poke her with a coat hanger to get her to come out." Sometimes you try and do something you think is right, and it just comes out all wrong. That's life. I read this challenging blog the other day. The person was talking about Jesus' words to love your enemies. It sounds good, but when you try and practice it, it feels nearly impossible. And she made the point that Jesus doesn't say, "Don't have enemies." He is saying something more like, "When you have enemies, choose to love them." To think we can live in this world and not make any enemies is far-fetched. And she went on to point out the mere fact that we choose to love our enemies rather than hate them will in fact make you more enemies. These difficult relationships, even to the point of someone becoming your enemy, is a fact of life. It is going to happen. Sometimes it's among family, sometimes friends, sometimes co-workers, but you will have enemies, and you will have these complicated, difficult, sometimes conflictual relationships. So what do you do in the midst of these challenges in our relationships? How do we be a hero when we try and do the right thing and it comes out wrong? What do we do with moms and dads, sons and daughters, who might love each other deep down but are so frustrated with each other, maybe even find it hard to talk with one another because of these layers of disappointment and heartbreak? Bob Marley says this, "The truth is, everybody is going to hurt you. You just got to find the ones worth suffering for." Let's go deeper, though. Have you ever been away from mom and dad, brother and sister for a time, learned, grown, and changed, but then when you came back to the family, it's like nothing had ever changed? They still treated you as though you were the same person as years before? If you study families, they say the distance between siblings is measured by the distance between a father and their children. If you want two children to be close, dad has a really important role to play in that. There's another story of a mother who moved away from her sister and dropped out of touch with her. Within just a few short years, that mother's children dropped out of touch with her. They had learned from mom that it is okay to lose touch with your family. Not only do families play a huge role in the values we hold, they influence how we treat each other and the next generation. This isn't anything new. In Deuteronomy 4, you heard the laws that Moses gave to the people of God. He said, "Don't forget all the great things God has done for you." Their story started back in Egypt when God led them across the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was drowned in the water, and then when they were in the desert, food miraculously appeared from the sky. They received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and then were told to go and take hold of the land that today we call Israel. It was filled with people that were taller and stronger than Israel, but God gave them the victory. They conquered these difficult foes because of God's leading and guidance. And Moses says, don't forget this. Teach your children about all that God has done for us. Remember when God spoke to us on the mountain and gave us the law that guides our behavior. Remember how terrifying and powerful that moment was. Moses is telling Israel how important the role of mom and dad is in passing on this teaching. We honor God because mom and dad taught us how to do that. The problem is mom and dad taught us a lot of other things too. They even taught us a few things they didn't intend to teach us. I had an interesting experience a few months ago. I live next door to the church and dropped off Davy, my 4-year-old, here at the nursery school. My 2-year-old, Hal, had come with us, and he was doing like little boys do and was putting along back to the house. He was taking his sweet, precious time walking back. I think he actually wanted to make sure that he touched every single blade of grass between here and our house. I was leading the way home, and he was dragging behind. When I got to the front porch, I got the mail out and could see through the tree that he was still slow training his way back to the house. Then a car pulled onto the shoulder, and I immediately took notice. There's not a lot of traffic on Hillsdale Ave at noon, and as I looked over, I could see a person rolling down the window to talk to Halloran. I came out from behind the tree, and I think they finally realized that this is not an unsupervised 2-year-old walking along the sidewalk. And the person in the car said, "Oh, I wanted to make sure someone was here with him along the street." And I said, "He's fine. We walk here every single day. The entire trip is literally 40 feet. And then I saw there was another person in the car, and they called out, "I'm just so worried that he's so close to the road and he's going to get hit by a car," as though dad is not worried that his 2-year-old would get hit by a car, right? Now, I appreciate the heart of this person. They wanted my child to be safe, but I also felt the person was judging me a little bit here and the boundaries I had set with my children without knowing any more about the situation. I told Emily about it a little later in the day, and she said, "Welcome to my world, Brian. That happens every single day when I am with the boys. Every day, moms and dads are being judged for what they do and do not do for and with their children. The expectations of people are so wide and diverse, but our knowledge of others is so limited. For children, as they grow older, they want different things from their parents. And the good they are taught gets wrapped up along with the not so good things, the things they wish wouldn't happen or wish didn't happen. their expectations of their parents are not always met. Today, I hear God calling me to unwrap these things, to hear the good that my parents have taught me, and to let go of past hurts, the unfair judgments, and the layers of old glue that can make current relationships difficult. Let go. Trust God with these things. Trust in the teachings that pointed us to God so many years ago. And even though parents aren't perfect, even though maybe they have not lived as they ought to have, we still praise God for them. They pointed us to God, reminding us of his greatness throughout history. And it still serves to move us in the right direction today, even if it was through a negative example. God is working even through the imperfect instruments of mom and dad, even with all the difficult, messy relationships we have with them, even when they've been gone for years. God is moving through their story and through ours, bringing redemption, bringing a new hope that only comes from trusting God. Let me end with one last story. This comes from Samuel Lewis Lee. When he was a boy growing up in New York City, just 10 years old, his mother was diagnosed with cancer. He went every day to the hospital to visit with his mother. His father was an abusive alcoholic, so he would go all by himself, just this little boy going to the hospital. One day he came to the hospital stairs and crossed into his mother's room only to find it empty. He went to the nurse and asked where his mother was, and the nurse said, "She's gone." He asked, "Gone where?" And another staff person came and told him she had died and that he should go home and talk to his family about it. But he had no other family. His father was non-existent in his life. So he went to his house, and he's crying on the front porch. Along comes this woman who introduces herself as Rose. She tells Samuel she owes his mother because years before she got the NAACP to stop her from being evicted. She tells Samuel she owes his mother because of this. She gives Samuel a sandwich, cookies, and some milk. She decided she would take care of him. He said it didn't take long for him to figure out that Rose was a prostitute. Yet when he started messing up in school because of the death of his mother, Rose was the one that dressed her in her Sunday best and advocated on his behalf. She helped him get a job and did what she could to raise him. Years later, with limited options, Samuel became a drug dealer. He dealt for 5 years until finally he got caught. As he was in jail awaiting his sentencing, a man came to visit him, a man wearing a clergy collar. The man said he was with a woman on her deathbed, and her dying wish was for this clergyman to go and check on Samuel and to see how he was doing. He asked Samuel if he knew a woman by the name of Rose. This clergyman was with Samuel at his sentencing before the judge. And in a bizarre set of circumstances, it led to his release to this clergyman named Father Pitt, who was the founder of the Samaritan Halfway Society, now known as the Samaritan Village. Today, Samuel is a digital media consultant and helps produce short-form documentaries. It's only possible because a woman decided to help an orphan in any way she could, and a man of God did what he could when a boy was orphaned for the second time. You, people, can do the same for another person today. Your mother and father have already taught you how to do this. Sure, it may be mixed in with difficult moments, even tragic circumstances, but when we offer hope, grace, and forgiveness to others, even our mothers, we can find ourselves responding to the call of God on our lives. This is what it means to be a hero. We teach others the good news of Jesus Christ. We pass on the good teaching from our parents and forgive others for past hurts. I invite you to be a hero today, to be like mom or dad, like brothers and sisters that pass on the good news by living it every day. Amen.